A few weeks ago, it might have been months, Brother Ryan Joy, in delivering a Wednesday night invitation, spoke of a book that was written by Thomas Costain entitled The Three Edwards. An intriguing chain of events were set forth in that book. It had to do with the life of a man by the name of Renald III. Renald III was a 14th century duke in Belgium. And he's famous throughout history, not for the things that he employed politically nor the things that he achieved, but because he was extremely obese. What a thing to be famous for, huh? Renald had a brother by the name of Edward, and Edward brought about a political coup and took over the government. And Edward knew that Renald had some following, so when Edward incarcerated his brother as a result of this coup, he put him in a jail cell that had doors and windows that were left open. The problem was that Renald was too fat to get through the door or through the windows. So when people would complain to Edward about his running of Belgium and his incarceration of his brother, who was their favorite, he'd say he could leave any time he wants to. And then he made sure that Jenny Craig didn't make the diet. In fact, I would suppose that the diet looked a lot like what Cherry fixed at Sloan's graduation party. And he was there incarcerated by his own habits. And therein is a message. You and I can be enslaved by something that can destroy us. We can choose to be enslaved by things that have the propensity to destroy us. Spiritually, we can be entrapped by sin. And like Renald in the book The Three Edwards, live a life of making excuses on why we can't get free. But it's up to us. There was, once upon a time, a comic by the name of Flip Wilson. And he was a lot of things, but one of the things he was funny. And those of us of age can recall one of his favorite characters was Geraldine. And Geraldine would come upon a lot of these circumstances where she just did the wrong thing. Thing that she wanted to do, but it was the wrong thing. And someone would approach her about that, and she would say, "The devil made me do it." And that became a saying for a lot of people in this country. The devil made me do it. I've heard that from members of this congregation just joking around that remember Geraldine. You know what? Satan doesn't make us do one thing that we don't want to do. He hasn't got the power to make us do one thing that we don't want to do. Oh, he'll incite us. And he's tricky. And he's persistent. And he knows where our buttons are. But when push comes to shove, the action is our responsibility. And that presents for us a challenge at times. overcoming the influence and the power of Satan is the major point of the passage that Brother Tim read at the outset of our service in Mark, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 20. In that text, there are two powers that are identified. First, the power of the devil. I don't want you to think that the devil is not powerful. The devil is powerful. Mano de mano, you cannot beat the devil. He's stronger than you are. And also in that text is Jesus. And in the text we see a very encouraging thing to us. And that is, Jesus is stronger than the devil. The two sources of strength that's going to affect our life more than any other, Jesus is stronger than the devil. He has the power to overcome evil with good. He did it for the man with the demons, and he can do it for me. And he can do it for Russell. Because he has the power to overcome. Our text in Mark 5 tells us three truths that I find kind of scary. One, devil and the evil that he exudes and the power with which he brings it can ruin my life. In verse 3 of Mark 5, the man about whom the story is written lived in the tombs. That's consistent with what we in our culture would say. He lived in the gutter. He lived in a bad place, a bad environment. But if you look at the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 27, which happens to be a parallel account, you'll find that that man was from the city. He was from town. He didn't grow up. He wasn't born in. He didn't always live his life in the gutter. He went from something that was acceptable and good to something that was unacceptable and bad. Underestimating Satan's power in the 21st century will take us from that which is good to that which is bad. Underestimating the power of Satan is that power that takes political enemies and takes them from leadership roles to roles of despots in history. It's the power that takes a president from a leadership to being an ex-president in shame. It is the power that takes a leader of a denominational religious body in the United States with hundreds of thousands of followers and takes him from where he wants to be to the place where he ends up. It's the power of Satan that does that. Agreed doctrinally or not, the point is that spiritually speaking or physically speaking, the devil has the power to move us to where we don't want to be if we'll let him. That says to me that we need caution. We need to employ self-control. If I were to bring, I was thinking about telling you that I had done this and then saying later that I hadn't, but I was afraid you'd faint. If I were to bring 5 rattlesnakes, just 5, and put them in the lobby, just let them loose. Close the door so they couldn't get in my office, or the office of the elders, or the place where the kids are. Just put them out there. And I were to announce to you, there are 5 rattlesnakes on the other side of that wall, and there's an exit here, and there's an exit back there, and there's an exit back there. But I think if we just do it in mass, that those rattlesnakes can't get all of us, and this exit may be closer to the car. So let's let Trevor, and let's let Brian, and just do a diversion, and let's sneak around the side of this exit and get to our car. It'll be a quicker trip to the car. Now, I would ask you to raise your hand if you wanted to do that, but I'm afraid some nut might do it. Why would we go the longer way? If we're parked right on the other side of this wall, why would we go through that door right there to get there instead of going through that door to get there? Because there's danger on the other side of that wall. Is there anybody that doesn't understand that? That just cannot be misunderstood. I'm telling you, in the world that we live in, the devil is there. That should alter our direction. And that's apples to apples. It should make us go the safe way in order not to be harmed by Satan. Because Satan can ruin your life. Second scary fact. Satan can control your life. To that man in Mark the 5th chapter, Satan caused him to become a masochist. He was cutting himself with rocks. He was doing harm to his own body. And to say, well, certainly I don't know of anybody that lives in a graveyard and goes around cutting himself with rocks. But you've heard of, and perhaps you know, people that use drugs and hurt their body. What makes you think that Satan would use the advent of a rock-cutting cemetery to destroy and not use the advent of cocaine to destroy? It's just the same tune, second verse. A young man by the name of Jim that I had a personal Bible study with in Long Beach, California in 1983. Jim's dad was one of the leading doctors in Long Beach, and he had a lot of money and access to his dad's fortunes. And Jim had participated in things when he was 8 years old, third grade, that fried his brain. Taking some pills. And the doctor said he fried his brain. Jim went through that study with me and would call me at all hours of the night, and I would respond to his questions. And one night I got a call from the California Highway Patrol that said Jim was going down the freeway at 75 miles an hour and decided to get out of his car. The devil can control your life if you're not careful. So we need to be careful. That's what Mark 5 is telling us. This power that's being described is so heinous that we need to latch on to the power that can defeat so that we will be successful. Evil's destructive power must go somewhere. Satan is there. He's going to go somewhere. He's not going to just sneak back into the cave that we read about in the book of Revelation. That power that brings about evil is going somewhere. In Mark 5, it went into the pigs. When evil comes at your doorstep, please Please understand that that evil in the form of temptation comes to your doorstep. When evil comes to my doorstep, what direction do I send it? Do I send it away or do I let it in? That's a scary question. When enough evil gets in, it may be too late to stop it. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more." He's talking about the Gentile, the pagan people that are in that area, and they had just participated. They had let Satan in for so long, they were not interested in anything else. They wanted more and more and more. And I've got to tell you, you and I know people like that, that just want more and more. But the sad thing is, we know people that are not there yet, but are headed that way. And that brings about an urgency to us with regard to the relaying of the power source that is corrective and overcomes Satan. The good news is that the devil is no match for Jesus. Jesus can overcome your failures. We all have failures. Remember, even when the demons completely controlled, they still recognize the superiority of Jesus. The change in that one who had the demons was radical. It was complete. He was ready to learn. He was ready to tell others. Bible account after Bible account tells us no problem is too big for God. When you're sitting here today in the recesses of your own mind and you're thinking about your own life, it's a very private thing. Do you feel like you have problems that are too big for God? Problems that He just has helped you with before and you failed again. He's helped you with again and you failed again. And that this time it's just overwhelming. That nothing's going to change. Well, that's not right. Because with Jesus, you can change. Because He has the power to overcome evil. The change that Jesus brings is a change from the inside out. Jesus didn't come and try to change the demoniac's behavior. He changed his heart. Jesus didn't tell the demoniac, "Clean up your act." He cleaned out his heart. And that's what the Word of God will do for us. It'll clean out our heart. And it'll make us do right. And it'll reward us eternally for that decision. But the power of Jesus is limited. It's limited. Jesus can't help us one whit unless we say yes. There's 4 steps to getting the power of Jesus in the lesson's yours. 1, acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Satan's power can't stop you from responding to Jesus. You and you alone can reject Jesus. Only you can say, I don't believe. Only you can say, I will not repent. Only you can say, I will not acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Only you can say, I will not be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. That's the only one that can do it. You or me. Even the demons knew that they had to obey Jesus in Mark 5. You can get the power that Jesus has available for you if you realize the end result that awaits, and that you realize the end result that waits on the followers of Satan. Matthew the 8th chapter and verse 29, and Luke the 8th chapter and verse 31, and Revelation the 20th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Bible tells us that the devil knows that his end is hell. The devil knows that. The wise man knows that to join Satan is to share his end. That's the wise man. Matthew 25 and verse 41 tells us that hell was not made for man. God did not make hell for us. Hell was made for Satan and his followers. And that's up to us. But you know what? We can go there if we want to. Say, well, what a stupid thing is that to say? We can go to hell if we want to. But to say anything different is to say that we've been predisposed by God to some other system than that which He's revealed to us. We can go where we want to. We get the power from Jesus when we learn how, from Jesus, to live. The demoniac's desire to change is evident from his desire to learn, isn't it? Did you see how he changed and wanted to know about this one that freed him from the demons? He was starting to become a disciple. Becoming a disciple of the Lord doesn't happen just overnight. The process starts. It's a process that starts with an avowed commitment and a series of learning that changes us from the inside out. Willingness plus effort plus time is what equals change. Willingness plus effort plus time equals change. If you want to change your life to be a follower of the power source of Jesus Christ, the process of change must begin. And finally, when you accept the challenge and when you decide to follow Christ, don't keep it secret. Make it public. Talk about the changes that Jesus has brought to your life. Chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, go home to your family, to your friends, and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. There's three reasons why you should talk about it. And bragging isn't any of them. Number one, if you talk about the new commitment that you made, it's easier for you to keep the new commitment that you made. And it's easier for Christ to help you not to revert back to the old ways. There's a word called testifying that conservative Christians get just short of breath when they hear, because it's just a denominational word. But testifying is not a denominational concept. Testifying is speaking about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Why would one hide it? There are definite advantages to speaking about that hope. You help others see that you've really changed, and they're encouraged to give you a second chance, aren't they? Talking about God's positive impact on your life gives God the glory, and He deserves the glory. He's the source of change, and He should get the credit. There are so many. Margie, I know I misspelled own. There are so many that because this is such a personal problem, and it's so demeaning to us personally to not being as good or doing as good as we think we should. And we become depressed with that. And we become introverted with that. And there's this little voice that says, you can take care of it on your own. You just handle it on your own. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Because it takes the power of Jesus Christ. And there are certain things that we have to do to employ that power. The starting point is becoming a Christian. And we invite you this morning to become a Christian while we stand and sing.
Give me thy heart as a father.